A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, enriching all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone to preach? And how can people preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. But not everyone has heeded the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what was heard from us? Thus faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Certainly they did. For their voice has gone forth to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. The word of the Lord.
Decrees of the Lord are steadfast. They give wisdom to the simple. Judgments of the Lord are true. They are all of them just.
The judgments of the Lord are true, and all of them are just.
They are more to be desired than gold, than quantities of gold. Sweeter are they than honey flowing from the
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
As Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Verbum Domini. This past Monday, we recorded two programs on the Catholic Sphere that I occasionally host. And I wanted to do a program on prayer. And so you may know on that program you have three guests. So I had a Benedictine monk, I had a Dominican sister, a Carmelite friar, and of course I'm a Franciscan friar. Sounds like the beginning of a joke. And I said to them before we started, I said, "Now, no fighting over who has the best way of praying." But the first question that I addressed to the three guests were, "Did you always pray?" And Father Boniface Hicks, a Benedictine monk from St. Vincent Arch Abbey, he said, "No, in fact, I was an atheist." He did a Journey Home program back in 2020. You can find it easily if you want more details about his conversion and his entrance into the Benedictine monastery. But he said his parents were good people. He taught he and his brother how to be morally good, but they had no religious practice. And so because of the influence of our age, he became a scientific atheist. You know, everything could be reduced to the material. And when he went to Penn State University to study computer science, he thought, well, all of these students, these science majors, computer science, must all be atheists. But he was surprised to find that some of the students went to Mass every Sunday, and they were honors students. They were in the honors program, so they were bright people. And there was also the impact that an evangelical Christian had upon him who said, "Would you like to learn the Bible? We can just meet and talk about the scriptures once a week." And for some reason, he agreed. And so he begins to delve into first the book of Genesis, but then the Gospel of John. And when he read the prologue of John's Gospel, he knew that he believed. He believed that Jesus is the Lord, that the Gospels are true. And it had this tremendous impact where he begins then this walk of faith, of belief. He had not been baptized. He would go to Germany to study further, and it was there that he was taking these advanced classes in German, which he knew pretty well, but he was having a crisis because he's overwhelmed by these studies. And it was then that he really began to sincerely pray from his heart, asking God for help. And he had an experience of the Lord, of his presence. And he discovered, he said, how wonderful it is that we really can have a personal relationship with God and hear him speak in the quiet of our hearts. So eventually, he would be attending Mass. He had an experience also when he was praying before the tabernacle. Went to Mass for 2 years without receiving communion, finally took instruction and entered the Catholic faith, and eventually St. Vincent Archabbey, he's a very popular writer on the spiritual life today. In fact, at the National Eucharistic Congress, he was chosen to lead one of the Nights of Adoration. He had this beautiful prayer of healing that he led the people in. You can find that on EWTN's On Demand site. But what was interesting that I wanted to bring out in his story is how there was this young man, David, who introduced him to Jesus. He introduced him. He also had a girl that he was dating for a time who introduced him to Jesus present in the Mass, bringing him to Mass. And St. Andrew, Venerable Fulton J. Sheen, calls the introducer. He calls him the introducer. Because the account that we had in today's Gospel, from the Gospel of Matthew, many believe was actually the second encounter that Simon and Andrew had with the Lord. And so the first account, first time that they met, was in John's Gospel, chapter 1. And so they are disciples. Andrew and John were disciples of John the Baptist. And when John sees Jesus, he says, "That behold the Lamb of God." And they start to follow him. And Jesus said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they say, "Where do you stay? Rabbi, where do you stay?" And he says, "Come and see." And John never forgot that encounter, because he even gives us a time it happened, 4 p.m. And they stayed with the Lord. So in today's, and in that encounter, that's why Andrew is often called the first called, the first one who responds to the Lord, because then he immediately goes back to Simon, his brother. He says, "We found the Messiah." And it says then he brings him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. We also see in the Gospels how he brings the boy who had the barley loaves when before our Lord multiplies the loaves and the fish. We also see some Greeks are wanting to meet Jesus, and Andrew's the one that introduces them to him. So it's like immediately he knows in this encounter with Jesus that he's the one I've been looking for, waiting for. But it's not just enough for him to know that and to be the Lord's intimate follower as he was, but also to bring others to him. So first to Simon, the Greeks. So he brings them. You know, there was a story of a priest I heard one time, and this man, he was a faithful Catholic, and he would come regularly to the Mass, but he was really suffering a dark depression. And the priest said to him, "Have you ever shared your faith with anyone?" He said, no, I wouldn't know how to defend the faith. "Well, have you ever studied it to learn it better?" No, not really. "Is there anyone in your family who's been away?" "Well, my brother, he's been away for 10 years. "Well, why don't you call him and ask him to join you, to come to Mass with you?" "Oh, I don't think I could do that. I don't think he would like that." But later, as this man is pondering over these things, he calls his brother, and he's ready to hang up if he gets an angry response. "Hey, would you like to go to church with me on Sunday?" And to his surprise, his brother said, yes, I'll go with you." So sometimes we think that people will put us off, but let us remember that God's grace is working even ahead of time. When we have an encounter with a person, he's already preparing them in some way to respond. And so if we have that courage to introduce others, to bring others to Jesus, like Andrew brought his brother Simon, that the Lord's at work too, in hidden ways that we don't know of. Doesn't mean that everyone is going to immediately respond, but it might get them thinking. It might begin to open a door. And we have our own creative ways that we can each plant some seeds, that we can draw others closer to the Lord, bring them to him. Now, in today's first reading, St. Paul says this, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I thought, why don't we do that today? We can do that right now. And for all of you, and maybe there's some of you out there, we reach all over the world, maybe you don't really know. Maybe you haven't really come to faith. But the Lord's working right now. He is. He wants you to come to a relationship with him. And so believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and he's present. The risen Lord is present with you right now. And let's repeat all of us three times that Jesus is Lord. And you too at home. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And what does St. Paul say? The same Lord is Lord of all. Lord of all. Enriching all who call upon him. Our life is all the richer in finding him. The psalm today says, your words, Lord, are spirit and life. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. Does your soul need refreshment? Boniface Hicks, when he first read the gospel, the beginning of the gospel of John, he believed. It refreshed his soul. It was something that he didn't even know he was looking for, but when he discovered, he knew this is really what he wanted. And he wanted to teach other people how to pray too. That became this impulse in his life. He does a lot of one-on-one spiritual direction because of his own experience and teaching on the spiritual life to help other people to have this personal encounter and relationship with the Lord who wants that for each of us and invites each of us to that. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul, rejoicing the heart, enlightening the eye, more precious than gold, than a heap of purest gold. That's the relationship with the Lord. It's so precious, more precious than the greatest wealth we might have. Now, on this day, I always like to tell this story, a personal story of my own family, of my great-great-uncle Andy Hemmer. So I knew my great-grandparents, my maternal great-grandparents, both of them. My great-grandmother, great-great-great-grandmother lived to be in her 90s, 94, and her brother lived to be in his 90s. His name was Andy, Andrew. His feast, you know, patronal feast day would have been today. So he was blind in one of his eyes, and the other one he could dimly see out of. But he was still living on his own, his son Paul, who would check on him every day there in Dubuque, Iowa. And he would listen to the TV mass. He could kind of make his way around the house because he could dimly see in one of his eyes. But he heard me talk about the prayer that's traditionally prayed from the Feast of St. Andrew until Christmas. And it's a beautiful prayer that reminds us that the most awesome moment in all of human history was a moment of the incarnation when God became man and then he revealed himself in Bethlehem. Hail and blessed be the hour and moment in which the Son of God was born, the Most Pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold, in that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and his Blessed Mother. Amen. So I sent that prayer to my great, great uncle Andy, and he prayed that all day long. And on Christmas, indeed, he received that favor he was asking for, the recovery of his sight. And he wrote me two letters that I still have. And he said, "The doctors are stunned as I was declared legally blind." And his family is often asked, "How are your dad's eyes? You know, does he still see?" And he did. He was able to watch the Mass, you know, the last years of his life because of that favor that he received from the merits of our Savior Jesus and his most blessed Mother. So this is the good news. The Lord still continues to reveal himself to us in so many ways. So today, throughout this day, let us believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead and proclaim with our mouth that Jesus is Lord.